Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
They say it is the best weekend of NFL football, and it is about to be upon us tomorrow. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Bobby Bell, and Peyton Phillip Russell on DFW Sports Station. The show of Wales continues with Nate Newton at 7:20. Should be electric radio to talk about Dion and the other head coaching candidates and former Cowboy head coach Dave Campo at 8 o'clock on 105.3 The Fan.
Two really good interviews. Regardless of what you're talking to them about, they're always fun to talk football with.
Let's talk tomorrow. 3:30, ESPN and ABC, Texans at Chiefs. Kansas City is favored by 8. And if they win, I will have won a monstrous bet of trash talk against Bobby Belt with the Chiefs making the AFC Championship. Are you nervous for
no.
real? You're
no.
not?
No.
What is the
Who'd you
payoff?
Pick in round one?
In which game?
Chiefs, Texans. Oh, Chargers, Texans.
I think I picked Chargers. I don't remember.
And you're still not nervous that you had Houston losing first round?
No, because I would have had, you know, the Chargers still would have won that first round game if they would have been playing the Chiefs, because the Chiefs aren't a very good football team.
What is the bet? What is the bet payoff? Is there one?
You know, just bragging rights.
Yeah.
Maybe you get to brag to the other person 300 times.
You're not going
to
do the nine hot dogs, 250 nine beers.
Times. 200, was it 250 well, bragging
no,
times?
That was 300 times, I think.
You got to at least do the hot dog beer at a baseball game.
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, no, it's just, it's like Sean gets to say, ha, I was right. And he gets to say it 300 times.
What is the hot dog?
Hot dog, nine hot dogs, nine beers, nine innings. You got to do a hot dog and a beer each inning.
Is that like the fantasy football payoff bowling?
Yeah, so the fantasy football bowling payoff is you have to stay at a bowling alley until you bowl a 300, but every beer you drink takes 10 pins off. Or I'm sorry, every beer and hot dog you consume takes 10 pins off.
All right, initial looks at these games, but I also like to start off with, who are you rooting for? 877-881-1053, Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. I'm obviously and definitely rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Chiefs, absolutely. Because if Houston wins, what that sets up is the most anticlimactic AFC championship game ever. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson need to go through Patrick Mahomes to get to the Super Bowl. It would not have been the same for Manning to not go through Brady to get to his first Super Bowl. It has to go through Mahomes. So that's why I'm rooting for Kansas City.
I'm rooting for Houston because I don't like Kansas City. Okay. Here's the thing. I don't even hate Kansas City. Just like I didn't hate Golden State early on. But like after a while, it's like, all right, enough. Like, we get it. You got
Jeremy Roenick the other day with us. He's like, anyone but the Chiefs.
Yeah, and that's where I'm just tired of the Chiefs. That's the biggest thing. I'm surprised.
I was on a conference call with Ross Tucker yesterday.
Oh, wow!
Too good to come on the radio with us anymore. And he was like, anyone but Kansas City, please. Please, anybody.
And look, I think that The bigger thing this year and a little bit last year is just they're not as good as they were the first couple times they won. And so I'm annoyed that they may continue this while they're not that great. But yeah, no, I'm rooting for Houston. And you're right. It sets up an anticlimactic AFC title game. It could have been much better had Stephon Diggs not gotten hurt, because then we could have gotten Stephon Diggs and the Bills. Yeah. And that would have been just as juicy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. When the Patriots were going through their 18-19 year run of always winning, I was like, I can't stand this team. You know, I always hated them. But the Chiefs, I have nothing to hate about. Like, they're not a hateable team, so I just continue to root for them. And it's the Dallas-Houston hatred for why I don't want the Texans to win, so I want the Chiefs to win.
Yeah, maybe other than, like, their assistant coach who was hired by nepotism and puts girls in the hospital and, you know, all the different players they have that beat people. That's maybe one reason not to like them, Peyton.
7 o'clock tomorrow night on Fox, Commanders and Lions. So, I don't have, I know you're from there, Sean, you're still a Redskins fan. No, I'm happy for Dan Quinn, and I like the Jaden Daniels story so far. And I think in this game, I'm going to want, like, the Commanders to scare Detroit, be up at times, have it be really close. Ultimately, I wouldn't mind this big upset, because Detroit's favored by 9.5. I think ultimately I'm going to want to be right about the Lions winning the Super Bowl, so I'm going to pick Detroit. Although there are some Cowboy fans, they want the Commanders to go as far as possible because they think it'll sting the Joneses.
I don't know how anybody who isn't a Commanders fan could root for Washington here. Like, Detroit is like, they're like, they've become like America's team. Like they're the darling. It'd be a fun story. They've never been in the Super Bowl. America loves Dan Campbell, Motor City Dan Campbell. I'm all in on Detroit. I'll be pretty crushed if they lose.
By the way, there's a 14-point difference in the over-unders between the two games tomorrow.
Oh, this is like 56.
It's 55.5. Texans-Chiefs is 41.5. With C.J. Stroud and Pat Mahomes.
Degenerate.
I think Detroit's probably going to win this game, but I am definitely rooting for Washington, 100%.
Why?
Because I would love it if the first year that Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn leave this organization, if they get right to a conference title game in the same division right off the bat, I'd love it. Now, the thing I want to know is Jake Rietma, who is he rooting for? Because I know he's a Lions fan, but I imagine he also has hats from Washington and Philadelphia and LA and everywhere else that's in the country.
And he's going to be doing Rangers caravan coverage tomorrow with Will Chambers. So
AJ Hinch going to be a guest.
Poor Jake won't get a word in.
Pudge is going to be there. Bruce Bochy is going to be on with them as well. Who are you rooting for?
I said last Friday, I said I'm giving the Dan Quinn Washington Commanders, I'm giving them one win. One win, then it's F the Commanders after that.
Yeah,
you know, because the NFC rival. So I want all Detroit here.
Sunday at 2 o'clock. Let's go Rams. Rams at Filthy. This is a 6.5-point spread.
It is. I would love to see the Rams move on here. I would love it. I don't know what's gonna happen. Philadelphia's, they really are good. Like, and I hate to say it, they really are good. I would love to see the Rams move on. I will be massively pulling for Los Angeles.
I think Philly moves on. And
I'm not asking, I don't want the predictions yet. Asking who you root for.
Root for Philly because two reasons. Oh, one, gosh. Get Kellen further. Two, although you know what, I would like
that
to
that delays him being our
I was gonna
head
say,
coach.
I was gonna say just Ed Figs. That's an argument for right there. Two, you remember we all had the discussion after he won the Super Bowl. They're like, is Stafford a Hall of Famer? It's like, no. If Stafford were to somehow get to a second Super Bowl this year and maybe win it, well, now we're probably talking about Stafford is going to the Hall of Fame.
I mean, you might already be there. Honestly, you might get there now.
What is he? Is he a one-time, two-time Pro Bowler? It's real. It's a really light resume, other than just.
I know the numbers are gaudy. It's like, yeah, with the Super Bowl, it's gonna be tough. I think it'll be tough to keep.
So you're rooting for Philadelphia, Bobby?
Yeah, 2-time Pro Bowler for Matthew Stafford.
Peyton.
Yeah, I'm not stupid, Sean.
Thank you.
Go Rams. Thank go Rams. You. Go what? Stafford.
This is the first time he hasn't rooted for Philly all year.
No, he puts him in the power rankings. Let's go Rams. And then 5:30 on CBS. Ravens at Bills, the heavyweight, and obviously easily the closest point spread. Ravens are favored by 1. I need to think about this. I need to think about who I'm rooting
who
for.
Who you're rooting for?
Yeah.
Well, if you want Kansas City to lose.
I don't.
No. If you want Kansas City to lose in the AFC Championship game, the only team you can root for then is Buffalo. They're the only team that can beat them. If you want Kansas City to go to the Super Bowl, then root for Baltimore. That's how I would advise.
Buffalo. Yeah, I'm rooting for Buffalo.
Why?
Because I still don't like Baltimore at all. Buffalo,
Can you just get off of your stupid married to opinion? It's so annoying.
What did we establish here in 2 years other than I love being right?
Well, so I need you're to supposed be right. to be likable a little bit too. Yeah. You're supposed to change for the benefit of the show.
But I you know what? You know what's more important than being likable? Being right, Sean. Right. I would think you would know this. See, you would have agreed with me. Like 15 months ago before you found out you were having a baby girl and then you had one. This is that whole softening now that you have a baby girl and you're like, hey, we don't always need to be right. We can hold hands. You were holding hands with Hagelin yesterday. This is just a different person that we're dealing
with.
You're
about to switch chairs with Peyton. Who are you rooting for?
How young is Peyton Russell?
This one was tough, but I had to lean Buffalo. You know, I've picked in my power rankings all year, so they're the best team in the AFC. I just think one of these years, Josh Allen's going to get it done. And I think this is the year to do it. Kansas City is on the downhill, even though they're the number one seed, 15-1. Whatever they are, but I think I'm rooting for the Bills here.
I don't think I have a rooting pick here. I think I'd be fine with both. I want to see Lamar and Josh and the whole breakthrough story for both of them.
The breakthrough story for both is going to be fantastic. I will probably lean to root for Buffalo. I think their helmet's better. I really don't have a massive rooting interest here.
All right, let us know. 877-881-1053. Speaking of helmets, finally.
Yeah.
Thankfully, the NFL's changing the Guardian cap.
Yeah, the Guardian cap, which is one of the most hideous things, these new ones look much, much better. They've designed a new Guardian cap.
I wonder how would you describe the look, by the way?
Okay, so you know those... anybody who's got kids that play flag football, those black skull caps that they'll wear, they've got like the little, almost looks like bubbles inside as the design. It looks just like that. Did you see the photo, Bobby?
The new one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Georgia Tech helmet.
Yeah.
Looks very, very cool. It fits around the helmet better. It doesn't look like it's a sock pulled over. And hopefully it gives more protection. So... because some of the people like Darius Slay said, I'm not wearing this. It ruins my swag, and half my game is my swag.
Oh, my God. And I was just about to ask that. How many more players will wear them because the look has changed to cooler?
I think a lot. It would not surprise me if the NFL, I mean, how long before high school mandates this, first off? That's the first one to mandate it, I believe. It's going to be high school.
I don't know that they would mandate it.
States would.
I don't know.
Maybe not all of high school, but like... you're going to get states out there that are absolutely going to mandate
high school football is such a massive industry on its own, and I think there'd be a lot of people pushing back against it.
People continue to have a problem with Tom Brady, broadcaster. And by the way, his agent, Don Yee, said yesterday, no, Tom's going to complete this broadcast contract, 10 for 375. He's having fun. He's going to continue to call games. On the Dan Patrick Show, DP says... why is the league still continuing to allow Tom to hire his next coach?
How does that go with Tom Brady's game this weekend? He's got the Lions game with the Commanders. What happens if they show Ben Johnson on the sidelines? Is Tom Brady, minority owner of the Raiders, allowed to talk about Ben Johnson? Does he have any inside info, which I would believe he would? I like how the NFL makes it seem like this isn't a conflict of interest. Seton brought up something this morning. He said, imagine if Jerry Jones was going to be the analyst for a game.
He'd love that.
And he's looking for a head coach. Is there a conflict of interest there?
So, and look, there is. I get it. I understand. But this is on the NFL. Either remove him or force Fox to fire him. Either remove him as an owner or force Fox to fire him. Like one of those two things. But if the NFL is going to keep him, then I mean, we just got to deal with it, I guess. Like we're gonna have this is going to come up every 3 years now. Every 3 years, when the Raiders fire and look for a new head coach, the same conversation piece is going
to
come up.
Yeah, how did they go from just a couple years ago going, we're going to spend $20 million to take the face of our league to court, but we're not going to tell him like, hey, you got to pick one of these jobs, Tom. Like it's almost like there's a weird thing there.
So it down for me how this is really a problem with Tom interviewing people.
So the interview windows are closed, right? You can't have contact. Tom is down on the sideline before the game Ben Johnson is down on the sideline before the game. And he kind of walks over there and, you know, they talk about strawberries and TB12.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, he's a, hey, let's pick your brain here on this. Like,
it's interview access that other teams don't get.
Yeah. It's in college.
But isn't everyone talking to the agent anyway behind the scenes?
Agent, maybe.
But again, everyone's tampering.
Jerry is not walking down, like Chop says, he's not walking down to Lincoln Financial Field and then going up to Kellen this weekend and going, hey, let's
What's the difference if he does it on the field or they have drinks at Hurtado the night before?
Oh, I think it matters completely if you're able to get FaceTime with that person.
Well,
and then
they
you're
can
able
meet. They can meet Saturday night.
And you're able to walk around and talk to all the individual players on the field. Hey, what's Ben like? What was
Tom's not going around conducting player interviews in his Fox pregame with everyone and being like, give me the rundown
right
here.
No, but they all, like, I mean, Olsen, Brady, they all, if you go to AT&T Stadium and you see them before the game, they do walk down there and they're talking to players about a lot of different things. Yeah. I think they could absolutely talk about this. By the way, it just dawned on me when you said Don Yee was Brady's agent, that I wonder if he's really pushing Brady, like, please hire Ben Johnson with the Raiders so I can get Mike this Chicago job.
All right, everything you need to know around the rest of the National Football League, a loaded Friday edition on the Show of Whales, starting with the electric Nate Newton, the Cowboys legend, joins us to talk about Deion, Kellen, and everything else during the commercial-free expressway next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
And that means we are commercial free with our final tickets to the Dallas Open, AEW tickets in the 9 o'clock Dave Campo at 8 this morning here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. And we are very excited as we have tracked down the man that Bobby Belt has fallen in love with because of Wednesday nights in Frisco all season long. He is the Cowboy legend, Nate Newton, on the D&M Leasing Hotline on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, big fella. How are you?
All right. How are you gentlemen doing this morning?
What has it been like working with Bobby?
It's been a pleasure, man. I've been hunting for this guy for several years, a guy that can come on, you know, has done his homework on every guest that we've had. He's brought out nuggets that no one else knows about. And so, I mean, with his phone, he does miracles.
That is the exact scouting report.
That is very good.
Absolutely. So, all right, you gotta host the rest of your life with either Bobby or Chop.
I started out with Chop when Chop was a rookie at another station, man. When Chop used to be the board guy, now Chop is the man.
All right, Nate, yeah. We need your perspective on all this Deion Sanders talk. What do you think of the idea of him coaching the Cowboys?
Well, you know, the other day I was at his crib a couple of days ago, and we always go on this mile and a half, 2 mile walk. So as soon as I get there, I know the big fella got to go walking. So I'm like, wow, I'm hydrated up so I won't faint. So we take off walking.
Oh, God.
And we don't get 5 feet into this walk, and he go to talking about Colorado. I'm waiting, you know, this 10 to 20 minute walk. So I'm waiting for a break. He said, well, what about the Cowboys? He never gave me that opportunity. It was Colorado this, Colorado that. Oh, I'm trying to work out something with them. I'm like, and I just looked at him like, wow, this dude ain't even thinking about the Cowboys. Oh. So, and like when I talked to Chopper earlier, I'm like, it ain't much I can say. I can give you my perspective of what I think he would be as a head coach with the Cowboys and the differences from college. But other than that, I couldn't draw nothing about a Cowboy out of him. Maybe him and Mr. Jones have had their little talk and they want to keep it a secret or whatever. But now, you know, Deion, I mean, maybe if I'd have threw a couple of grand out there, he would have spoken.
Got to.
Hey, yeah, they gonna mess up no future money. You know that.
Wait, I thought that was the Nate Newton way. What were you telling me about Nate?
Nate goes. I'm done talking football for free. Those days are over, fellas.
So Chop's gonna get the invoice for this today.
Hey, Bobby, they just don't know. You just call your one shot, baby. Don't call me next year unless you got extra change.
But Nate, you did just say a lot, possibly. Like, the fact that it never came up, does that tell you that all this is smoke?
You're talking about in the state of Texas, the two top salesmen in the state of Texas, Deion Sanders and Mr. Jerry Jones, who are better PR guys that let me rub your back, let me scratch your back, let me keep you in the limelight while I keep you in the limelight. I think Deion can coach on this level. Do you want to come to the Cowboys to do that? I don't know. Because now you go from being the man in Colorado to maybe being the second guy, because you're going to have a lot of thoughts and a lot of wishes, I think, when you come to the Cowboys, will not get answered. I just believe that, because everything is done by committee with the Joneses. And nothing is, hey, this is what I want to do, this is how it's got to go. Those guys don't tend to come to Dallas. Guys that run their own shows. And that's just the bottom line. It's not taking a knock at the Joneses or the Dallas Cowboys organization. Ever since Mr. Jones has taken over and Coach Johnson has left, that is how this organization's been ran, by committee.
Nate Newton joining us here, 105 Through the Fan. You said that he would be fine and do well at the NFL level. What is what he does that gives you that idea?
He know how to talk to people. He shoot people straight. He gives good answers. I've been around him when he was talked to the kids at Colorado, which I know is different than the pros. In the pros, you have a salary cap. in the college, you have a portal. You can't. This is not the portal. The thing that he will have to understand is you coming into a core of players that you cannot touch, which is Dak, which is
Lamb,
the kid Lamb, and the other kid we finna sign for about $40 million, Micah. Number 11. So yeah, so you, those are core guys that you have to come in and build some type of relationship with, which I think Deion can build those type of relationships. He know how to talk to men. He know how to lead men. But the thing is, now you got 20% or 30% of your cap tied up in guys. You see a guy that you need, and if it don't fit up under the cap, that can be way to snag at. But not being able to build your team how you want it to be built, or how you think it should be perceived, because you have a cap and you have other personnel that has a higher input is that you have in making a decision on a player or players.
Nate, one of the things you've talked a lot about with this current Cowboys team is like toughness and edge and physicality, and how you think that's really been lacking here over the last couple of years. If Deion comes here and he's that coach, how much of that do you think gets instilled with Deion?
The thing is, you can fight for it, you can push it, you can lean your practices towards that, but it's a hunger you have to have as a player. Some coaches have a knack to see that in a player and to research that and to ask that of his scouts to, you know, when he goes out and talk to the right people, what type of guys, he got some dog in him, is he got this in him, can you push him, can you touch a button? You know, these are the things that you're going to have to ask of your scouts and of your coaches, you know, to challenge these guys to kind of alter your practices just a little bit. Ain't but so much you can do in practice. I understand that, but you have to alter your practices. You don't have as many veteran off days and stuff like that where, you know, you don't let the Rams come in and control your practice like what happened to us during training camp where the Rams came in. And it bothered me personally that, you know, they were in there physically handling our guys, and I didn't think that was cool. That's your home front. Protect the home front. But I knew right then, I said, this is not a tough team. You know, even a cur dog, if you walk up on his porch, he at least gonna growl or bark or have him raise on his back or something, you know. And so I felt like, going into the season, we weren't going to be a physical team once again, and that's what I crave for is to maul people, to bend people to your will, to understand that I'm going to finish you after the whistle. I'm going to be the guy that has my hands in your chest and shoving you. I mean, I believe that, and I think we're on the right track with Hoffman, guys like Hoffman and our left guard guys. We got a few tough guys, but just not enough.
Yeah.
You know, Nate, I know you were and we're talking to Nate Newton, Cowboys, six-time Pro Bowler, three-time Super Bowl champ here on 105.3 The Fan. Nate, I know you were somebody who liked Mike McCarthy a lot, and you were a fan of his personally. Were you surprised that he decided not to return?
Nah. I just believe this right here. We brought him in. The expectations were set correctly on Coach McCarthy. We needed to see the second round of the playoffs. We needed to see the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
I thought something bad was going to happen last year after Green Bay came in and did what they did. But then when Mr. Jones did not make that move, I said, okay, we finna build something here. We finna give him some players. We finna go to that next step. But all of a sudden, the CD Lamb contract pops up, and we hear these, hey, well, you know, Dak is going to have to work with less than before. I thought that was a joke, but it turned out the whole season he had to work with less than before. And then the injuries hit, and we still didn't go out and fill a few holes with free agencies. I knew Coach McCarthy could be doomed, but he kept the guys playing. He kept them going. And I said, okay, we building something here. Next thing I know, Coach McCarthy's gone. But I don't think he walked out saying, okay, they didn't renew my contract, it's okay. I got other suitors because as much as I like Jason Garrett as a teammate, when he left here, did he have a bunch of suitors?
Nope.
No, he didn't. So this goes to show you that the Cowboys scratched Coach McCarthy back, but he also scratched their back. And now Coach McCarthy is in a position, and I think for the next few years, his name will still come up for a head coaching job, even if you don't get one this year. I like Coach McCarthy. I just think it was a personnel. It was not a Coach McCarthy problem. I think personnel was a personnel, a lack of personnel.
Nate, you mentioned that Jerry does a lot of things by committee. It's a group effort. From a face of the franchise thing, if Deion does come here, do you think Jerry would be cool sharing the spotlight and maybe having Deion actually be the face of the franchise?
I think it'll be a shared thing. I mean, when Deion first came here, Deion was big. I mean, they did a couple of commercials together. If you go back, Chop, I know you can get on your secret phone. Bobby can get on his secret phone and pop up all the old YouTube videos.
I got no burner.
But the thing is, Mr. Jones has never had a problem with sharing the spotlight. He's had a problem when you take it all away. Mm-hmm. He wants his respect, which I think he should get his respect. He wants his respect. He wants his part of the pie, too. So I don't think Deion will ever overshadow Mr. Jones. He is the owner of one of the most iconic franchises in the world. So you will never, but it would be a big platform, and you will have problems, I think, more than anything, trying to let this thing not get out of control. This would be the greatest show on earth. If Deion showed up here, this would be the greatest show on earth. And it would be 24/7. And me and my boy Bobby, we probably have three or four talk shows going on a week. You know what I'm saying?
So, Nate, and you've talked a little bit about this on Wednesdays when we've done shows, but when we talk about how does the culture change when Deion comes in here as a head coach, how did the culture change for you guys when he came in here as a player?
One thing we understood was now all of a sudden he takes away a third of the field. He takes away a third of the field because coaches will not even game plan to throw at him. So what that does for our defense is now they can concentrate more on shutting down that run or putting more into the star receiver, because what we would do is let Deion cover the second guy and let double the first guy. So it just gives you more of an aggressive mentality to try more, to run more games, to run more blitzes, to run more stunts, because now he can cover that one side of the field, or he will give you that perception that he can cover that one side of the field. So that takes away one or two of the reads, or early reads for a quarterback. So that made that defense feel good, and it made the offense feel good because we knew we was gonna get two extra possessions a game, or we was going to get better field position on average per game. That's what Charles Haley did when he came in. That's what Deion Sanders reinforced when he came in. When you got guys of that ilk that can play the ball the way they play, you guaranteed two extra possessions a game, because they were either going to cause a fumble, a sack fumble with Charles, or they was going to pick the ball off because Deion back there and they doubling the star receiver. And you know every quarterback and every offensive coordinator going to force that ball to the star receiver because he wants to be on top of the world playing against Deion Sanders.
Nate Newton bringing it strong like we knew he would on the D&M Leasing Hotline here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's take Deion out of it. What do you think about the possibility of Kellen Moore, Jason Witten, and some of the other names, Nate, being thrown around out there? If Deion's not on the table, who else would you want?
It's not who I want. It's who this organization wants. And this organization let a guy walk away who they admired and loved. I mean, Mr. Jones, they let Mr. Moore walk out of here, go to the L.A. Chargers, you know, and didn't do very well there. And then he went to the Philadelphia Eagles where they forced Barkley on top of him because he don't want to run the ball. He wants to throw the ball, but they forced Barkley on him. So he knows now that he can't drop the ball. So that is the man. If he interviews today or whenever he interviews Monday, when he interviews, if he says the right things, I will be kissing up to Mr. Moore. How you doing, Mr. Moore? You're the guy, Mr. Moore. So Mr. Jones loves Familiar. And I heard somebody say this yesterday. One of our guys, I want to show you. Mr. Jones loves Familiar. And he's familiar with this guy. He knows this guy. Moore knows how to work with the Joneses. He knows that you're not going to push against them. They're not going to have it. So he knows how to come in and function within. Now, when he stand up in front of those 53 guys or those 80 guys or 90 guys doing training camp, will he have the right words to motivate these guys to get them going in the right direction? I know how Dak feel about him, but now the Dak ain't but one guy. So, you know, you got still about 90 guys you got to impress and put a game plan offensively and defensively. I think if they pull Mr. Moore in here, it's going to be all about his coordinators. It's going to be all about his assistants. You can't go out I think you can't go out and get weak guys. If you go out and get weak assistants, especially two weak coordinators, it's not going to bode well for Mr. Moore.
Nate, what do you think of all the Jason Witten talk and his lack of experience?
You know what? Once again, I don't put anything against the thought of Jason Witten, but he will have to come in and do the same thing. They will have to surround him with dominant people. You talking about taking a kid, basically. Witten's coming off the street, bro. If you thought Deion was not ready for this. I laugh when people say Deion ain't ready for this. Well, if you don't think Deion ain't ready for it, don't put this Mack truck on top of Witten, because when it fall in on him, bro, it's gonna be ugly. So either way, the most prepared guy for this job, by experience and being in the mix, is Moore. Go out, you know, get Moore in here if you want to, but surround him with the right type of people that can help him win games. Don't let him assemble a staff, because if he assembles a staff, it may be a bunch of deputy dogs running around here that ain't going to do nothing, bro. For real, bro.
So, Nate, you know, if we got a Hall of Fame voter listening out there right now, a Rick Goslin or a Shereen Williams or anybody else for that matter, and they're listening, they're going, what do I need to say to these voters about Darren Woodson coming up here during the Hall of Fame vote? You want to give your pitch on why Darren Woodson needs to be in the Hall of Fame?
Why he should have been in the Hall of Fame, he's not in the Hall of Fame, why it's a conspiracy against Cal. I ain't going to say that. It ain't a conspiracy against Cal. Darren Woodson altered the game. He was the first safety that modern man, wherever you want to start with the modern man theory, I don't have the theory to that. He was the first safety to walk down in the slot. We were one of the few teams in the modern era that never took their defense off the field. We didn't have a nickel package. We just brought Darren Woodson into the box, or we brought him down on top of the slot. We didn't have to go out, have five guys play eight positions. We had Darren Woodson. He either was the nickelbacker or he was the dimebacker, depending on what you needed. So this guy revolutionized the game, and all the voters. I'm not one of those guys that walk around, Bobby, you know that, oh man, you got to play the game to know football. You got not, uh-uh. But if you know football, you would not ignore history of what Woodson has done. Yes, he didn't have all the interceptions. They didn't ask that of him. But he made the plays at the right time. He was sure in what he was doing. He's a hell of a guy. He brought more to the game on an integral and small levels that people don't understand. He was a four-down player. He played all special teams. He did everything that every safety that's been since every safety they put into the last 15 years, he's better than every safety. You name one, he's 10 times better. And so that's just how it goes, bro. It's just how it goes. Now, once they put Wooden and Darren in the Hall of Fame, they can shut it down because the doors are closed on safeties after that. Ain't no real safeties after that. Bobby, I know you're rolling with it, baby.
I am. Hey, Nate, you are absolutely incredible. Bobby has the bill. Next time Mrs. Newton and Mrs. Belt get together for a cocktail or two, thank you so much for waking up. And your best guess, though, yeah, it's not going to be Dion, right?
No, I think it's going to be Mr. Moore. I think Dion wants to go back to Colorado. I hope Colorado does the right thing. But if not, but if they do hire Dion, you know your boy in the house, don't you?
Thank you, Nate. Have a great weekend.
Hey, God bless y'all. And be strong. Bobby, tell the wife, to my wife, hey, hello.
Yeah, I will. I will do that.
Wow.
He's
good,
great.
Good book, Choppy.
He's a treat.
He's so good. Just talking football and culture and
He's one of those guys, though, right? If you covered him, you never would have expected. I mean, he was probably disliked from the media. I mean, Nate was, you watch those old Cowboy documentaries and he would probably tell you he was different.
Nate will tell you.
Where is he on the scary list with Haley, Ratliff?
He's different. He was jovial, but he'll tell you where he was bully back then. So he used to pick on people was the thing. He was always funny, but he always picked on people was the thing. But he said he's like, yeah, I have regrets about what I did, but he'll still, man, when Alec Medford sat in with us on Cowboys Crosstalk, and he could stop every time I'd say, and I'm joined by Alec Medford, and Nate would go, 6'5", 265 pound, yeah. Alec Medford, Alec Big Medford. Al.
Big Al. I didn't meet Nate until after he went away. That's when I met Nate. And, man, he was awesome. It was such a treat being around Nate.
He is awesome. And I think
every Tuesday and Thursday.
Well, you've told me all the socializing with Irvin. What about, did you do it with Nate? And what was it like going out with Nate?
We didn't necessarily go out like we would Urban. You know, Nate was a homebody. Like he didn't want to get involved.
You heard the Michael Irvin hotel room stuff, right? About Choppy would go and there'd be tell him leave it for the next guy.
Oh, so
Michael hotel stories, all right?
Well, all right. We got to Oxnard and we were staying on, this was back when you could stay on the property at the Residence Inn. So we had the room like just right down from the Cowboys PR, and
were you in there with Mike?
It was separate. We had separate rooms. We had like a whole building. It was me, Mike, the engineer, and then Kevin Kiley, who was doing the show with Mike.
Kevin Kiley.
And I'm in the room maybe 5 minutes. I got a knock on my door, and it's Mike, and he's just in his underwear. And I'm like, what's going on? He goes, I locked myself out of the room.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, Mike, you got me. It was like he was going to go take a nap. And he, for some reason, went outside. And
what were you supposed to do about it?
Go to the office and get a key card.
Oh.
I had to go get a key for him.
Tidy whiteys, boxers.
They were blue. Oh, okay. They were blue.
Cowboy blue. What a cowboy.
They were cowboy blue. But we... I bought a big giant bottle of Bacardi and Bacardi Limon. That's what Michael wanted. We had the fridge, and he was like, "I was like, dude, we were getting ready to leave," and I said, "What we do with this?" He goes, "Leave it for the next guy.
Leave it for the next guy. Leave it for the next guy." That's my favorite. One of my favorite Michael lines. Leave it for the next guy. All right, let's finish up here. That was a gut punch. That was a Dion gut punch for me. That Nate goes to the house. Dion talks about Colorado for 20 straight minutes, maybe even more. Doesn't even bring up the Cowboys. Nate thinks it'll be Kellen Moore and Jory Epstein. Well, actually, let's get the latest from Ian Rappaport, NFL Network.
This is someone who is considered to be a top candidate for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not saying the top candidate, just certainly someone to watch and discuss and consider moving forward. It's not just that they know him as, he's been an assistant there. He grew up in the franchise. He was a backup quarterback to Tony Romo and then got injured. And then somebody named, Dak Prescott. Yes, Dak Prescott took over, and the rest is history. Dak knows him well. They have a great relationship. So, yes, they are going to interview him. That is going to be, I believe, actually within the next 48 hours. But it's not like they really need to interview him. They've seen him up close. They know how he works. They know what kind of coordinator he would be. They believe they know what kind of head coach he is going to be if he gets the opportunity. This certainly is one to keep an eye on, and it makes a lot of sense for all parties on this one.
And I think that's supposed to be a Zoom interview today. And Jory Epstein wrote an article about Jerry not wanting to lose one of his whales.
Yeah, I think this is an important point that Jory brings up, because I think this is absolutely a factor here. And the headline is, as Cowboys request interview with Kellen Moore, you'll want to understand Jerry Jones's past with Sean Payton. And underneath that, it says, a head coach destined for success has gotten away from Jones before. His determination to not let it happen again is one of several big factors in this search. And I think that's the thing. It's not only just Sean Payton got away, and she brings up the point that when Sean Payton got away, that was a big driving force, the fear of the unknown and the fear of getting burned by the guy that you really liked is what ultimately probably led or was a factor to Jason Garrett staying here and being hired as the head coach. Similarly, the Sean Payton, Jason Garrett line that had followed, You can look at something similar now with Dan Quinn, where Dan Quinn was here and he held on for a little bit and wanted him here, and he goes out the door and he has success with Washington. And she mentions here, she said, Moore rose in Dallas. She said, as Jones considers the market for a position which he values familiarity and experience, Philadelphia offensive coordinator Kellen Moore will be a top candidate. Jones will value the chance to recapture Moore's Dallas success rather than risk him succeeding elsewhere, as Payton and Quinn have. That to me is one of the psychological factors. Like, there's all these reasons to hire anybody based on experience, whatever else. If you're just talking about psychological factors for Jerry Jones, the biggest, most overriding one will be, do I want to live with regret, or do I want to have the... And that is a bigger factor with Kellen Moore than any of these other coaches you could potentially talk about.
Yeah, like, you know, so like football players, coaches, they always talk about the process. You know, like is the process of getting ready for the game, was it good? Okay, that's good if it was. Did you lose the game? Yeah. The process. So we were on the right track. Yeah. We just didn't execute. When it comes to like the hiring, you know, I wonder is the motivation to not live with regret? Is the motivation to hire the best coach? Is the motivation to hire somebody you're comfortable with? Like, the right process is obviously hire the best coach. And I don't know, like, in Jerry's mind, like, how he would kind of rank those.
Jory talked to an executive from another team who's interviewed Kellen Moore before for their head coaching position, which probably narrows it down a little bit to figure out where this could have come from. She, in terms of, like, I'm just saying, if you were to go look over the course, you could probably figure out it's one of these other teams. I don't know which one it would be, but she goes, the executive had said, he's super impressive. We all left saying he's going to be a head coach someday. Unbelievably smart, was very organized with his thoughts. And he's been in the league so long now as a coach, but as a player and other things, that I saw this note yesterday. It was a little bit like, I mean, I guess it makes sense, but it's still surprising. He would be the youngest head coach in the NFL. Kellen Moore would if they hire him. Yeah, and so Kellen, for all the time that he spent around the game, all the time that he spent around the game and everything else, Kellen would be the baby in the NFL and somebody that, you know, the Cowboys could grow with for an extended period of time.
Dave Campo at 8 o'clock. Tickets to the Dallas Open in just a second. First, let's clean it out.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it!
All right, Chop. Well, what was going on with Chop Sr.? You dealing with all that?
We're dealing with it. So we have set the funeral date, but well, we had to go pick up his room. They call him the remains, which is such a dirty word. Pick up the remains from the mortuary. And this was, so we walk in to the funeral home where they did the remains, cremation, whatever you call it. And as soon as we walk in, and all these, this first thing is that all these funeral homes are just alike. You're greeted by a person that works there. And every funeral home I've been to, and I've been to like all my family's dead, basically. They are all the most soft-spoken, like tiptoeing people. It's like, hi, how are you? Mm. It's right this way. It's over here.
Right.
And I'm like, good God. Like they're all out of central casting. All the people that work at a funeral home. And we go over. She brings us into this room. And As soon as we walk in, it's an empty room. I felt like Joe Pesci in Goodfellas. it's a completely empty room with a couple of tables, and to the right is this nightstand. There's a wreath around it, and then there's two candles, and then bam, right in the middle is the urn. And I look at it, and I see it right away. My mom looks at it, and she's kind of just staring into space, like, what's okay, now what? And I says, right there. It's got his name on it. Like, it's got his name engraved on it. She goes, oh, my God, that's him. She goes over to this thing, wraps her arms around it, puts her head down.
Oh, no.
And just starts bawling. And I look at my sister. Ugh. My little sister was there, Lori. And she starts to cry. And I was like, now I got to comfort two of them. I got to comfort two of them now.
You didn't get brought into the crying, too?
I caught myself. I felt a knot in my throat, and I was like, not today. Not today, Satan. You're not getting me today. All right? No, you'll get me. You'll get me when I give that. They asked me to give a speech at the funeral, and I said, you mean a roast? I don't give speeches. I give roasts. Okay? I give roasts. So that was very difficult. And then the girl who works at the funeral home goes to put this thing into the box to carry it away. I thought she was going to for sure drop this thing. This thing weighed about 45 pounds. This girl couldn't have been more than 70 pounds. All right. She brings it over and she goes to hand it to my mom. And I was like, yeah, I'll take this. Like, I grabbed this thing. My mom, there's no way she would have carried this thing out. I strapped it into the seatbelt. I put a seatbelt around it to get it home because we were in separate cars. And then I went to this thing. Of course, the thing was going to topple over.
Oh, my God.
And fall everywhere. We get to the house and I was like, all right, I'll just put this on the mantle. She goes, no, I want to sleep next to it. So it's right there at her bedside table, which makes that
I thought it was at the bed for a second.
Yeah, same thought. No, because Sarah's dog Bentley is at her bedside table, right? So it's her ashes are there. So that makes sense. But that was tough. That was tough. Not nearly as tough though as the rigmarole that is dealing with all the assets.
Uh oh.
So my dad was married before my mom, and he got divorced in 1974, and he was still paying alimony.
What?
I have no... It,
what?
Your dad needed a better lawyer.
Absolutely. We contacted an attorney the other day that's in the state of New York, and she says, I can't believe this was the law back then, but it was. The guy just paid alimony forever in the state of New York.
And this other woman is still alive collecting it.
Still alive collecting. So we have to find a way to get her... Just, you know, we had to send a death certificate and everything, but we got to figure out a way that, you know, this thing ends because we have no idea. We're so in the dark on what to do with that. And then, you know, finding a way to do stuff with his assets, you know, like that. You know, now we got a plan for my mom. You know, we got to get her out of here.
Which is the worst deal? Your dad's divorce deal or Bobby Bonilla? Which is the worst deal in the history?
You know what? I'm about to say. Well, yeah, so we're going to do the house now, you know, we got the house and everything.
Dave Campo. On Dion McCarthy and everything else, the former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, on what they should and will be looking for. The Whale Watch continues on Sean and RJ next.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.